West Virginia's high mountain country looks unlike anything else in Appalachia. Its fir trees and rugged landscape are more like Canada's northern terrain. This unique beauty and wildlife is one reason the Nature Conservancy booked a tourist train trip into the mountain country recently. They also wanted to show off their 50 years of conservation work. The Allegheny Front's Kara Holsapple went along for the ride.
Dozens of people in windbreakers are milling around as the fog lifts outside the train depot in Elkins, West Virginia. They're waiting for the first call to board the Cheap Mountain Salamander, a vintage train which will take them on a scenic ride 64 miles into the mountains. Marty Sinclair from Cincinnati, Ohio, is here for her 34th wedding anniversary and for the wildlife.
My dad, he could find a salamander on any walk where there was a wet area, so I'm going to try to follow his tradition.
She might get a chance to spot the train's rare and threatened namesake, the Cheap Mountain Salamander, when the train makes a scheduled stop at the high falls of the Cheat River. The trip begins near the Shaver's Fork of the Cheat River and continues up into the Monongahela National Forest, promising glimpses of eagles and bear, too. The crowd steps into the train cars one by one.
Watch your step up there. They are deep steps. First car to the left into the red car.
Thanks.
And into velvet seats. Cameras are already out, and people are snapping photos as the train pulls away from the station. The trees are just beginning to change their colors, and the sunlight is playing off the waters of the Shaver's Fork. Oaks and other hardwoods give way to red spruce trees as the elevation increases.
I'll be glad to give you some information as we go along the way here on our trips today in order of interest.
An announcer explains that when these train cars were in their prime, at the turn of the 20th century, logging was king here. Today, only one-tenth of the spruce trees once covering the upper range of this mountain remain. Rodney Barge is the state director of the Nature Conservancy in West Virginia. He says his group and others are trying to reverse that trend, and their efforts have brought back some species that were once on the endangered species list, like one passengers may not get to see from the train. Burgess takes over for the announcer, telling passengers about the West Virginia northern flying squirrel.
The one that lives in our spruce forest come at night, comes down out of the trees, down on the ground, and digs the truffles up out of the ground. It's like a truffle picnic.
The truffles, a mushroom growing beneath the unique red spruce needles, are the squirrel's main food source. It's a symbiotic relationship. The squirrels spread the spores of the truffles in their waste. The fungi also feed the shallow roots of the red spruce in the otherwise nutrient-poor soil. Bringing back the red spruce has increased the number of these squirrels to the point where they're no longer on the endangered species list. As Barges mixes and mingles with the passengers, he says the work his group has done helping conserve 60,000 acres of the land the train will ride through today is even more important than saving forest critters.
Our forests are the lungs of eastern North America. Our streams are the heads of the Chesapeake Bay and the Ohio River that are such important river systems and water systems for millions of people.
Barges says the spruce provides shade for mountain streams, allowing brook trout to thrive again. And as the climate warms, the red spruce may play another role. They provide what Barges calls small climate feedbacks, retaining snow and moisture under their boughs, which could help mitigate the impact of climate change on this delicate ecosystem. At the top of the mountain, passengers get off the train at an abandoned logging and mining town, aptly named Spruce. There's not much here anymore, just a field of historic markers and wildflowers, and of course, red spruce trees. Barges points to one about as tall as a one-story home.
That's a red spruce. So the town was abandoned by about 1960, so that red spruce is probably no more than 40, 50 years old.
He says it takes 100 years or more for a spruce to mature, to really become useful for storing carbon and combating climate change.
But, you know, the trees originally were 100 to 120 feet tall, and it was a magnificent thing to have seen. The old photographs are impressive, but when you walk through some of the few remaining old stands, it's really awe-inspiring.
Most of the trees here today are much smaller, some only a few feet tall. Marty Sinclair is still impressed.
Learning the tremendous diversity of this forest, I never realized what a treasure. So that was good news and something wonderful to hear.
Barges says he wants people to leave the tour with the idea that forest regeneration doesn't just happen. It takes planning, effort, and commitment on the part of conservancy groups like his and others who want to preserve the state's natural resources. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Carol Holsapple.